Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, y'all, we're rerunning two episodes today, which means you might hear two hosts. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to This Day in History class from HowStuffWorks.com and from the desk of Stuff You Missed in History class. It's the show where we explore the past one day at a time with a quick look at what happened today in history. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson, and it's December 21st. A bomb exploded aboard Pan Am Flight 103 on this day in 1988 over the town of Lockerbie, Scotland. This was a Boeing 747 that had taken off from London 38 minutes before, and it was bound for New York. All 259 people aboard the aircraft were killed, as were 11 people on the ground, as the wreckage from the plane crashed into houses and streets in Lockerbie. The victims aboard the aircraft included 35 students who were studying abroad through Syracuse University, as well as people from numerous other nations. The following day, authorities announced that it appeared that the explosion may have been an act of sabotage, not some kind of an accident. Authorities also released a warning that day known as the Helsinki Warning. This was an anonymous phone call to the U.S. Embassy in Helsinki, Finland. And the phone call had said that a terrorist organization may be using an unsuspecting passenger to smuggle a bomb onto a Pan Am flight. Although there were uncanny similarities between this warning and the bombing of Flight 103, it was determined that they were unrelated. Although people were outraged when they learned that this warning had existed and they had known nothing about it. Soon it was announced that there had been a bomb in the airplane's forward luggage compartment. The bomb was hidden in a tape recorder and placed in an unaccompanied bag in Malta that had been transferred to a Pan Am flight to London after landing in Germany, and then from there onto a flight bound for New York. Two suspects emerged, Abdel Basset Ali Mohammed al-Megrahi and Al-Amin Khalifa Fima, both of them of Libya. They were indicted on November 13th of 1991. They worked for Libyan Arab Airlines, and they were also accused of being Libyan intelligence agents. At first, though, Libya refused to extradite them to Scotland to stand trial, and this led the United Nations to impose sanctions on Libya. Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi also wanted the trial to take place in a neutral country. So part of an airbase outside of Amsterdam was declared Scottish territory so that the trial could be held under Scottish law. It was only after this was agreed to that Libya finally agreed on December 16th, 1988 to turn the suspects over. This was more than 7 years after the indictment. And then it was April of the following year by the time the suspects were actually handed over to UN authorities to stand trial. The trial began on May 3rd, 2000, and there were three judges with a fourth as a reserve. After hearing 8 months of testimony from 232 witnesses, they issued their verdict on January 31st of 2001. Al-Megrahi was found guilty, and Fema was found not guilty. Al-Megrahi appealed, but that appeal failed, and 8 years later, he received a compassionate release when he was diagnosed with terminal prostate cancer. He died in 2012, a little less than 3 years after that release. In 2003, Libya took formal responsibility for this bombing after years of insisting that Libya as a nation was not involved, although Gaddafi himself did not take personal responsibility for it. Gaddafi did agree to a $2.7 billion settlement to be paid to the families of those who were killed. Other suspects were announced to exist in 2015, and there continue to be a lot of hypotheses about this bombing, about who was involved, whether it was some kind of multinational conspiracy, but no one else has ever been convicted. It is certain that there were other people involved. In response to the bombing, there was increased airport security all over the world. The FAA also fined Pan Am due to security breaches that had happened on the day of the bombing. Thanks to Eves Jeffcoat for her research work on today's show and to Casey Pegram and Chandler Mays for their audio work on this show. You can subscribe to This Day in History class on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can tune in tomorrow for an infamous and wrongful conviction.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, I'm Eves, and welcome back to This Day in History class, a podcast where we unwrap a piece of history candy every day. The day was December 21st, 1826. After declaring independence from Mexico, brothers Hayden and Benjamin Edwards and their rebel followers proclaimed the Republic of Fredonia and signed a Declaration of Independence. The revolt was short-lived. A month after it began, the rebels fled to the United States as Mexican military forces advanced. Mexico gained independence from Spain in 1821, creating the first Mexican Empire. 2 years later, the emperor abdicated the throne, and in 1824, Mexico adopted a republican constitution. One issue Mexico faced was figuring out how to increase population in the northern department of Texas and secure the area from Native Americans and other Americans seeking land. In August of 1824, the Mexican government passed a national colonization law that set some guidelines for people immigrating into Mexico. Each Mexican state was directed to create its own statutes around the general colonization law. One of the states of the new federal republic was Coahuila y Texas, which set up a system where, among other regulations regarding immigration, empresarios could petition the government to bring 100 or more families to the state at their expense. An empresario was a person who entered into a contract with the Mexican government to bring a certain number of families to Texas in exchange for land grants. In 1825, land speculator Hayden Edwards got a grant from the Mexican government to bring up to 800 new families to the area around Nacogdoches in eastern Texas. His contract required him to uphold all land grants in the area that had been certified by the Spanish and Mexican governments. It also required that he set up a militia to protect the colonists and that he allow a land commissioner appointed by the government to certify awarded deeds. But when he got to Nacogdoches, he demanded that previous landowners would have to present evidence of their land claims or forfeit the land. Of course, this was a controversial move. Many of the people in the area had families who'd lived there for decades, so their legal titles were lost. Some people who lived there were former residents of the Neutral Ground, an area to the east inhabited by many fugitives. Some were Native Americans who had history there before Spanish colonization, or those who had been forced out of the U.S. There were squatters there, and there were many Anglo-Americans in the area, some who had come as filibusters. All that to say, residents were not happy with Edwards' demands. He began recruiting families in the U.S. for immigration into Nacogdoches. The alcalde, or chief administrative and judicial officer of Nacogdoches, as well as the town clerk, worked to validate old land titles once they found out Edwards got his grant. Edwards accused them of forging land titles to his detriment, and soon Edwards was calling for elections for a new alcalde, even though he wasn't officially allowed to do so. Either way, Edwards' son-in-law, Chichester Chaplin, took the office after a disputed election. But supporters of Chaplin's opponent, Samuel Norris, contested the decision. And in March of 1826, José Antonio Salcedo, the political chief of Texas in Bexar, reversed the results of the election on the claim that illegal votes had been cast for Chaplin. Norris became alcalde. This did not sit well with Edwards and his supporters, and related and unrelated conflicts continued in Nacogdoches throughout 1826. Hayden's brother Benjamin was left in charge of the town, while Hayden went to the U.S. to recruit more families. And during this time, tensions between old and new residents escalated. By the end of September, Hayden's grant was revoked. This annulment was on the basis of him declaring himself military commander, forcing people to show their land titles or be evicted, and other wrongdoings. Hayden and Benjamin were ordered to leave Mexico, but they resisted the order. In November, a group of around 40 men from the Aish Bayou entered Nacogdoches and arrested Samuel Norris, Hayden Edwards, and others. Hayden was released, possibly because he was arrested to hide his own involvement in the affair. But the others were tried and convicted. Mexican authorities soon sent dragoons and infantrymen to the area. The Edwards prepared to fight. They determined that they would have to break from Mexico to protect their land investment. On December 16th, Benjamin rode into Nacogdoches with a group of armed men and seized the old stone fort. The rebels raised a red and white flag that said independence, liberty, and justice. The red represented the Cherokee and the white rebels. Hayden declared himself commander-in-chief of the Republic of Fredonia, and Martin Parmer became commander of the military. Many others joined the rebellion. Parmer negotiated a treaty with the Cherokee for mutual support, and the rebels signed a declaration of independence on December 21st. But the rebellion didn't go anywhere. The rebels didn't get much help from the Cherokee, and the Texian militia and Mexican troops forced the rebels to flee toward the Sabine River and into Louisiana. The rebellion was over by the end of January, but it increased the Mexican government's wariness of immigration from the U.S., and it caused more tension between white colonists and indigenous tribes. I'm Eve Jeffcoat, and hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. Feel free to share your thoughts or your innermost feelings with us and with other listeners on social media at TDIHCpodcast. And you can send your thoughts or comments to us at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks for listening to today's episode. We'll see you again tomorrow.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.